Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go, off and running on this final Friday of July 2023. This is the hornheadon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes this 28th of July. Headon.live is also where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time madcap multimedia extravaganza. It is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round, and whatever time it is when you happen to be listening to the podcast. If you are a podcast member of the community, thanks for joining in, and if you would be so kind, and some of you are, be so kind as to go to whichever podcasting platform you use and like it and subscribe to it and leave a comment talking about how gosh darned awesome this conversation is, being as how it's been going on for 20 years and without a single Buy Gold Now or Stupid Beats ad. Yeah. So, yeah, if you please. And tell your friends and neighbors, you know. That's another great way of building the conversation. If you pop into the chat room right now, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers, Irish Dave and Ralphs and Squeaky, and capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist and Chief Mathematician and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger, in Oregon. Hi, I am in fact Robin, and we are in fact live, at least for a little bit. I put up a notice on both Leon Scum's platform and on the Zucker book earlier because a thunderstorm came rolling through here. It is the end of July. It's extremely humid. And, well, that happens this time of year. But the other thing that happens when that happens every time of year is that, well, we often lose electricity because West Virginia gets 91% of its electricity from coal. And so there's still thunder rumbling in the distance. You may hear some at some point or in time during the program. But the standard disclaimer applies. Namely, and to wit, if this program disappears while you're listening live with no warning and just, and I may be in the middle of a word, a syllable, or one of my patented pregnant pauses. That was one just now. Then Appalachian Power's rickety coal-fried antiquated held together with spit and toilet paper, baling wire, and chewing gum wrapper electricity grid has once again shit the bed and run, well, or thunder having rolled through it has run under the bed like a terrified chihuahua and is sitting there quaking like it's trying to pass a peach pit because, well, coal-fried electricity is so 20th century. I just wanted y'all to know. It could be the internet, it could be the electric grid, but the possibility does exist. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So as a consequence, we say thank you to our 28th day of the month subscribers. And that means thank you goes out to Mark. Thank you, Mark. Thank you twice to Mark. And thank you to Sharon. And thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. And thanks as well to Gary and Gaia out in Oregon jumping in to bring our fundraising goal down a little bit. Right now it stands at $2,565. $2,565. Our kind internet friend did reach out to me last night and say that he would extend the Lassie's Down the Well 2-for-1 challenge for this Friday on the front porch. It's a Have a Show on Me challenge, so we could conceivably get down under a $2,000 fundraising deficit for the entire month of July if that challenge gets met. Hopefully it will. Thanks to everybody who does keep trying to keep things coming down. I appreciate it. We all appreciate it because, you know, even if you say nothing, you're still participating in the conversation as long as you're listening and thinking. Thinking is critical here. That's why it's called Head On, because so much of, like, right-wing blather is head off. It reminds me of a friend of mine who used to go, he'd belly up to the bar and say, "Bartender, give me one of them Reagan beers." Barkeep would look at him and say, "What do you mean by that?" And he'd go, "No head." I always loved that. "Give me one of them Republican beers." "What do you mean?" "No head." Works, doesn't it? Yes, as a matter of fact, it does. So it's also Friday on the front porch. And that means in about an hour or so, we will gather together. We will go over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we kept the keep the extraordinary ordinary round table, around which we gather each and every Friday to discuss anything we may have missed along the way, or anything that happens to be new. New voices, old voices, regular voices, all are welcome on Friday on the front porch, as long as they're not Republican voices. Because Republicans have nothing to say that's worth anybody listening to. And that'll happen in about an hour. There's a link at headon.live that can get you right in. If for some reason or another you can't use the link and you can't use Skype, well, you can always use the stress line. That is 844-843-4676. The stress line will get you into the conversation, too. And we're still trying to pay the phone bill, and the power bill, and the water bill. Oh, how about that? It's 3 whole years today. Brother Deacon Asa reminds us, since our dear brother in Christ, 999 Herb Cain, as Godzilla from Wasilla called him, Herman Cain, Herb Cain. Went home to be with Jeebus after he was murdered with the coronavirus by Donald effing Trump. Mm-hmm. Oh, Herb, we hardly knew you. Some of us knew your shitty gas station pizza, but you, not so much. Oh, and just a little recommendation. If you want something new and different in the way of a coffee beverage, you can do this at home. I've got one right here. See, I couldn't do that if this was not a real insulated, sealable coffee thingamajig with iced coffee in it. I picked this trick up from my friend Craig over at Rangefinder Coffee in Fayetteville, unpaid product placement. I love Craig's Rangefinder Coffee Place. It's homey and it's local, and That's why I don't feel great about the fact that we're getting a Starbucks. Ah, okay, first cowbell of the evening goes to Randy Radar. Marie Antoinette listened to Head Off Radio. Yes, and so did her husband. Too soon? Yeah. Neat trick for coffee. Again, I said this the other night. I'm convinced now that lattes are just an excuse to get adults to drink more milk. But they're yummy. So I use my little Nespresso machine. That was a gift several years ago now from our dear friend Chris in Germany. Still enjoying it, Chris. And I make myself some decaf. Don't hate. Some decaf espresso. And into that espresso, I put just the tiniest amount of West Virginia pure maple syrup. And a little tiny bit of smoked sea salt. Just a pinch. Stir it all together, let it dissolve, pour it in my little insulated mug. Froth up the Fairlife whole milk. Also another unpaid product placement. Ice it all down. And if you want it, it's just, who would have ever imagined? Maple syrup, coffee, delicious. Because it is. Where to begin the conversation? Because we have a lot of things. And Ralphs. Hey, Ralphs, thank you. Ralphs says she's putting up a $25 challenge for Sammy Bad Breath Alito's opinion. I have it here. Sammy Bad Breath has decided to, Sammy Bad Breath has decided to tell Congress what it may and may not do. He told the Wall Street Journal that Congress has no authority to regulate the Supreme Court. I know this is a controversial view, but I'm willing to say it. No provision in the Constitution gives them the authority to regulate the Supreme Court, period. Has he read the document lately? Steve from New York, presently in Ontario, and I were discussing this just earlier. Article 3, Section 2, Clause 2. In all the other cases before mentioned, the Supreme Court shall have appellate jurisdiction both as to law and fact, with such exceptions and under such regulations as the Congress shall make. Right. The Constitution, no provision in the Constitution gives them the authority to regulate the Supreme Court, period. And yet, there we are, a phrase directly out of that document drafted by those powdered up lace breeches wearing, lace cuff wearing, wig wearing, makeup wearing, high heel wearing drag queens from 1787. That says, yeah, they can. They can regulate the Supreme Court, dear Sammy Bad Breath. Fucking asshole. Because, of course, a Supreme Court Code of Ethics passed out of the Senate Judiciary Committee recently. And, of course, the maggot center said, yeah, that's dead on arrival. Because we want Clarence Peebs on the Coke can Thampy Thomas to keep flying off to Indonesia with his owner, friend, Harlan Har Har Crow. And we want Sammy Bad Breath. Have you ever met Sammy Bad Breath? You don't want to be around him. We're all better off when he's at an Alaskan salmon fishing lodge. We know. To which Tommy the Tuber replied,
I understand that's true. You got it. After all, my daddy, after he won those five bronze stars in the Second World War defeating, killing Hitler with his own bare hands, well, he went salmon fishing in Alaska.
Thanks for the challenge, Ralphs, and thanks for the heads up on the story. So much for originalism, huh? You know, if they want to be originalists, I think they should start dressing like the drag queens that the framers of the Constitution were. Wouldn't Fappy Thomas just look adorable in some little Lord Fauntleroy velvet knee breeches with lace around and lace around his cuffs and his wig and the powder? And enough of that powder and he might finally pass for white like he's always wanted to. Oh, Robin, you bitch. But I did, there are some things that I wanted to catch up with from earlier in the week. In particular, some data that we now have about the pandemic. The former pandemic. The now just the endemic COVID-19. Didn't have to be that way, but, well, here we are. Thank you, Nitwit Nero. Thank you, Rotted FK. Thank you, Maggots. Thank you, winners of the Herman Cain Award, because, as I said, it was 3 years ago today that Herman Cain won the first Herman Cain Award. But there's the headline. Excess deaths among Republicans skyrocketed after COVID vaccine became available, study finds. More Republicans died in the months following the release of the COVID vaccine than Democrats. As COVID vaccines started to roll out in February 2021, misinformation and conspiracy theories surrounding the shot were on the rise, as were the deaths of Republican voters. This from Gizmodo. A new study from Yale University looked at, wow, this is a big number, 538,159 people in Ohio and Florida starting on May the 1st, 2021, and focused on counties that reported lower vaccination rates. In the first year of the pandemic, the number of COVID-related deaths was evenly dispersed among both Democrats and Republicans. But that quickly changed within a month after the vaccine became available to all U.S. adults. According to the study, excess mortality was significantly higher for Republican voters than Democratic voters after COVID-19 vaccines were available to all adults. But not before. The death rate for Republican voters was 43% higher than for Democratic voters after the vaccine was widely available. The study authors were trying to be careful. They said, "Now, we're not saying that if you took someone's political party affiliation and were to change it from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party, that they would be more likely to die from COVID-19. You know, but these findings suggest that differences in vaccination attitudes and reported uptake between Republican and Democratic voters may have been factors in the severity and trajectory of the pandemic in the U.S. Well, lately, every time I close the program, I have mentioned that it's still a good idea to wear one's mask when one is around maggots, because maggots don't give a damn about anyone but themselves. It's all lizard brain, it's all amygdala with them. And frankly, while they care only about themselves, they tend to be such fertile ground for the spreading of stupid conspiracy theories that they die. Trying not to be a bitch about this. But I wonder if going forward, I wonder if it'll make any difference in parts of the country. You know, electorally speaking. We may find out and say, oh, 2024. There are some 2023 off-year elections, aren't there? Isn't Kentucky having one? Kentucky Stan? That might be interesting. I think their governor and lieutenant governor are up. And we should probably mention, having mentioned Kentucky, we should probably take a quick peep in at Senator Mitch McConnell. Because 20 seconds of that is way too much. Let me take a minute. I'm sorry about the silence, but let me take a minute. Just had a note from Baltimore Bob saying he still can't listen to the program live. And don't know why, because nobody else has been telling me about that. And, note from Lou, subject line Denmark. That's interesting. You think most of the community would be much more satisfied with their lives and their society if they moved to, say, Denmark or maybe even Canada? Maybe, Lou, but I think a lot of us have a stand-and-fight mentality. This is too good a place to give up on. We have a better future to make here. We have a future to protect here. And Denmark is a lot more nearer sea level, too, for that matter. I'm figuring I'm going to have beachfront property here, or my descendants will, if climate change continues to go like it does. But anyway, back to Moscow Mitch. According to the Associated Press, Moscow Mitch's office, put out a statement saying,
"The senator plans to serve his full term in the job they overwhelmingly elected him to do,"
talking about his Republican colleagues. Because, of course, there are never any knives out in the Senate of the United States. And in regard to what happened the other day, he keeps saying, "Well, I'm fine. Absolutely fine." What episode? I don't remember any episode. That might be a tell. And again, we found out later on, you know, he fell in National Airport, fell in Finland. No major media coverage asking, "What the is going on here?" Senator Rapilito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, are loathsome. Said, I talked to Mitch McConnell on Wednesday night, and he seems strong and alert. Mitch is strong. He's stubborn as a mule. My prayers are with them. Well, he's got those going for him. How could he possibly go wrong? I hope that we're going to August recess. I hope he has time to fully recuperate. From what, Rafaelito? From what? To say that he needs to recuperate means that something happened to him, but nobody's willing to say that anything happened. I mean, he sounds like the Enterprise in the first Star Trek movie in those interminable scenes going from left to right across the big screen. And there's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. South Dakota Senator John Thune, his number two, and boy is he, who was standing behind Moscow Mitch when he went all incommunicado, not making jokes. He's fine. He's back to work. Nothing to see here. Move along. But boy, howdy, that President Biden, who's as old as Mitch McConnell is, he's one foot in the grave and one on a banana peel, isn't he, y'all? Can't even ride a bicycle. Not that anybody's ever seen Mitch McConnell ride a bicycle. John Cornholio, who also might like to have Moscow Mitch's job, said, I support Senator McConnell as long as he wants to serve as leader, he said, polishing his knife and sticking it into the sinus of his toga with a lean and hungry look on his face. Cassius has a lean and hungry look. Then number three, Senator John Barrasso, said, coming as close as any Republican has to actually speaking the truth, he will probably be exiled soon to a gulag in Siberia. He's a former orthopedic surgeon. He's the one that walked him away. He said, I said I was concerned when he fell and hit his little old pumpkin head a number of months ago and was hospitalized. And I think he's made a remarkable recovery. He's doing a great job leading our conference and was able to answer every question the press asked him today. Because that's a hell of a standard for a Senate minority leader. Able to answer basic questions. And somehow or another, suddenly we're back to...
Of course I'm a staple genius. They gave me an intelligence test. It was hard. Man, woman, camera, person, TV. See? It's like a steel trap.
Then Cynthia Lummis of Wyoming stands said, I do have confidence in his leadership. At lunch yesterday, he spoke. No one had to cut up his food for him. He didn't eat with his fingers. No, I'm adding that part. He was completely on his game, using numbers that were pulled out of his head. And he was completely with it. So I don't know what precipitated the freeze, but he'll be careful to evaluate his own capabilities. Roger Marshall, another one of those doctors. He said he got a little overheated, a little dehydrated. That's what it looks like to me. I can tell you he's got a strong, strong voice in our conference. He's providing steady leadership, and I think he is doing a great job as magnificent leader. Oh, sorry. I slipped into... Robin Kinkadevichina. They're going to hang on for all their worth. Okay. Thanks for the confirmation. Dave number 11 says, for Baltimore Bob, Firefox desktop app no longer works with headon.live. Use another browser. And Lou says, I've been able to hear the entire show without issue. I live in South Central PA. I emailed Baltimore Bob and suggested that he use a different browser because it sounds like maybe he's using Firefox. What the hell happens with Firefox? I don't know. As to the dead Republicans versus the live Democrats, Steve in New York says, I'm curious how they determined whether a corpse was a Democrat or a Republican. Also, I wonder if anyone has done any correlational studies of COVID deaths around Fox viewership. That would be interesting. I'd really like to see the mortality numbers for watching Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. Isn't it amazing that a political ideology can predict whether one will live or die? But then again, if one is... economies certainly do. Because if you're poor in this country... Even if you go every time you get a chance to vote and vote Republican, because someday you might be rich, you're pretty much fucked. Because Republican policies will kill your poor ass. Chinless Mitch, Darlene in Connecticut with an observation. Chinless should be using a rollator at a minimum, and for longer walking treks, a wheelchair. He's got a shit ton of money. Oops, slip of the tongue. I mean, Elaine has a shit ton of money. To buy the best assistive devices on the planet for her beloved turtle. Oops, sorry, husband. He needs to get over that big fat ego of his. Elaine is a tough old bird. She needs to put her foot down. Well, Darlene, there have already been reports that when nobody's watching, he does use a wheelchair. They probably wheel him around the office and wherever he has to go where he doesn't have to be seen by a TV camera. Yes, Randy, I know the governor of Kentucky's a Democrat, but he's being challenged. By some Looney Tunes maggot. And I think the man who's like a son to Mitch McConnell, the Attorney General, the one who whitewashed the slaughter of Breonna Taylor, I think he's in the mix there somewhere. Steve, with a note, Canudlio versus Merca. Having spent a lot of time here, I can say unequivocally that Canada is not unequivocally better. I'm not here to badmouth Canada. You better not. The Mounties will come for you, and you don't want that. However, I have seen and experienced enough to see a few things. There are serious misconceptions about healthcare here. For instance, there are misconceptions about the politeness of Canadians. There are misconceptions about how much saner they are than we. And there are misconceptions about how much freer they are. And I would guess that in many of those instances, it's a matter of our nastiness metastasizing across the border. I think that's at least a fair guess. And the pettifoggers for Nitwit Nero yesterday met with members of Special Counsel Jack Smith's team. They've probably been taking more deliveries of ketchup down at MAGA-Loco. And it appears that... there are federal charges on the way. NBC delivered the news. And Nitwit Nero went to Tripe Social, his rickety falling apart social media network, and said,
they had a productive meeting,
And they explained in detail that I did nothing wrong, was advised by many lawyers, and an indictment of me would only further destroy our country. No indication of notice was given during the meeting. Do not trust the fake news on anything.
So, maybe Tuesday? That's coming. The grand jury met yesterday in D.C. The Washington Post spotted one of Jack Smith's team in the courthouse. They are allegedly looking into things like the grift, the stolen election grift, in which Nitwit Nero has been fundraising on bullshit claims of election fraud. They've been looking into the genesis of the domestic terror attack of January 6, 2021. And another thing that I ran across that indicates what Jack Smith may be looking at apparently, there's an inquiry being made into the fact that people around Nitwit Nero heard him and have told the grand jury that Julius Geezer, on multiple occasions, said that the cockamamie schemes being bandied about by the likes of Squidney Powell, the pettifogger, were horseshit, and he knew it, and then he turned around, and he knew he lost, but then he turned around and used the bullshit claims to keep his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers who pick their teeth with their toenail clippings in a constant state of inflammation that the kind that can't be relieved with Preparation H. Jack in Shreveport says, Firefox, yeah, I can confirm that Firefox won't play the show, and Safari will. Firefox has had that problem for a number of weeks, and I missed some shows until I tried Safari. I haven't looked any deeper into the problem yet. Thank you, Jack. All this is a mystery to me. I don't generally use Firefox, and so consequently, I don't have any problems getting a thing to play or a podcast to play. Or I wonder if we should look into streaming live at Podbean. I prefer to keep it at headon.live because it keeps things simple. Of course, there's always TuneIn. Yeah. And thank you very kindly to Christopher. Christopher got us started on the fundraising for this evening. Let's meet these challenges, y'all, Christopher says. Yes, Christopher, I agree. Let's do. Let's get down below $2,000 and more. It's Friday on the front porch. There have been miracles. Let's do that and hopefully get some bills paid so there will be a program on July the 31st, Monday. And by the way, just so you know, this is the first weekend I will have been able to stay home. The only weekend in July in which I will have been able to stay home. I think. I've been gone the last three, I know that. So hopefully I'm going to, if the weather gives me a break, I'll maybe get some of the jungle cut down. Whew! Grows fast this time of year. We use about half the property as a carbon sink. Just trying to do our little part. It's fun to see the life that goes on in there. Annette noticed a brand new hornet's nest. Brand new to us, at least. And being curious primates, but nonetheless capable of learning and knowing, the first thing that we did the minute we saw that hornet's nest was not go out and poke it with a sharp stick. I think that's another one of those places we could do a study involving Democrats and Republicans. Um,
But the thing is, at least according to the wisdom around here, the hornet's nest is very low to the ground. Because the conventional wisdom of the old-timers being that when the hornets make their nests low to the ground, you'll have an easy winter. Easy by whose standard, I'm not sure. Supposedly they build higher up when they're expecting more snow because, well, hornets can predict the weather. Okay. Really, Randy Radar? My former self's picture is still up at Patreon? Oh, goodness me, I need to fix that. And let's see. So, yeah. Looking forward to something on Wednesday. I will officially get the Y in Robin, and the I will be gone. And it'll be a fair swap, because when Terry changed her name, she changed from a T-E-R-R-Y to a T-E-R-R-I. She needed an I, and I needed a Y. So I'm getting my Y on Wednesday. Why, Robin? Why? Exactly. Oh, and here's one of those depressing little signposts on the way to us not being exactly great anymore. The 8th largest school system in the entire United States. The largest school system in Texas. The Houston Independent School District has decided to eliminate the position of librarian in 28 schools in that district. And once they've cleared out the space that was the libraries, they will then become discipline centers. Dear God. The state school superintendent is a guy named Mike Miles. He used to be a charter school CEO. That might tell you something about the way he considers education. And earlier this month, Mike Myers said that more than 600 central office employee positions were going to be eliminated. Because, you know, Texas don't need libraries in schools. That's just where you put the books that the Moms for Liberty don't want there in the first place. So cut out the middleman and just turn them into little jail cells. This, as the state of Texas has $32 billion state budget surplus, and the something less than wise souls in the Texas ledge decided that the money would be better spent cutting property taxes instead of making sure that young scholars in Texas receive something resembling a decent education. Interestingly, though, the librarians will be able to apply for other positions besides librarian, which kind of gives a clue that it's the libraries that are the target. And so according to KHOU, those 28 school libraries will be repurposed into team centers. And that means that the kids who have been thrown out of class for being unruly or, I don't know, gay or trans or black or Hispanic, well, they'll be sent to the team center. And they'll watch their classes virtually, you know, on the electric telescreen. Mayor Sylvester Turner of Houston said, "You don't close libraries in some of the schools in your most underserved communities, and you're keeping libraries open in other schools." Well, the way he puts it, you'd almost think it was something racist, wouldn't you? And you'd you'd be right. Here's a fun one, because maggot tears are always a blast. They're, instead of salty, they're sweet and funny. Enter conservative broadcaster Steve Deese, who works for The Blaze TV, which is the outfit that's run by the Beckerhead. And recently, when some various maggots, allies of Geezer Disgustus, said, well, I mean, all that crap we were talking about, the stolen election, it was all lies. Which caused Steve Deese, who quite honestly looks like, he looks like somebody who did, used to cosplay the Talking Heads and stayed with it too long. Well, Steve Deese had a sad.
We are going to the mattresses for these people. We are offering them more accommodation, more chances than we'd offer our own family members, for goodness sakes.
For goodness sakes.
And for what? To have Rudy Giuliani go down to Georgia and admit that he lied? Have Jason Miller tell the January 6th Commission, yeah, we all knew it was BS. What is this? Some of you don't like it when I use the cult word, but when you like being treated like a schmuck and ask for more, that is a cult.
No, that's being a dumbass.
I'm the sucker. I want to be such.
And you were, and you are. You're a sheep to be shorn, Steve Deese. You poor little maggot. What kind of carnival mark is Steve Deese that he actually ever took Rudy Giuliani seriously standing outside a porn store in Philadelphia? Oh, my heavenly days. Somebody take his belt and shoelaces.
And I resent the person who tries to get me out of that. Those are marks of groupthink, frankly. How many people in this audience sent money to Stop the Steal 3 years ago? How many shows did I waste your time talking about this 3 years ago? How many?
Confession!
I still have not recovered between the election fraud and COVID. I probably have the smallest Facebook following of any major show in this entire industry.
Well, I admit, he's got his arms spread wide like he's walking into the shop down at Crazy Dave's Crucifixion Emporium. Gladys giving him that baleful look with her gimlet eye. Love you, Gladys. I've probably got the smallest .. Facebook following. Steve Deese, honey, it's not them, it's you.
I will routinely post things on Facebook, get like 2 or 3 comments. It's like Facebook is like, we won't ban you because then you'll whine about it and generate a bunch of publicity. So we'll just make it that no one sees your material at all.
Yeah, wait. But he says something and he gets 1 or 2 comments. But if he whines about it, suddenly they're going to pay. I don't think he knows how this works.
Why? Because I went to the mattresses on COVID and the election fraud issue. only to have Rudy Giuliani say, yeah, I was lying, and Jason Miller say, oh, we knew it was all BS.
All the best people, Steve.
The facial expressions are precious. You might want to look this up.
Email me.
Please. For a micro millisecond there, I almost felt sorry for this poor little maggot. Damn, that's a road to Damascus moment. No, it's a road to Damascus moment. Well, I'm proud of it. Road to Damascus. Fine. Be that way. And as we approach the top of the hour, I have the hugest thank you to offer up. I just got a note from Kevin in Colorado Springs. I've always wanted to do this, but I've never had the money to do it. However, having come into some inheritance and it being my birthday, happy birthday, Kevin! And all, I would like to do a Have a Show on Me. Here's hoping you and yours, along with the show and all the community, plus myself besides, may we all have 20 more years of fun, frivolity, and democracy. Kevin in Colorado Springs. Oh, my heavenly days. Kevin, did a Have a Show on Me? And as such, the Robin and Lassie Down the Well challenge is met. And we've got $15 to go on Ralph's challenge, and by Jove, we're under $2,000. That could be the beginning of a Friday on the Front Porch Community Made Miracle. Kevin, thank you. Thank you so much. I can't tell you how that touches me. It touches all of us. Thank you. I think I'm going to keep this Steve D's clip up. Just keep it on. I'm just going to keep it in my tabs for moments when I feel something less than good about myself. And then in those moments, all I have to do is fire up this clip and I'll be all good. So yesterday, in yesterday's program, we talked about Wisconsin freshman Republican maggot. Oh, what's his name? Oxblood or something? Oxenwood? Derek Van Orden. I'm sorry. Yeah, freshman maggot Derek Van Orden, who upbraided Senate pages who were taking a break in the rotunda, because the rotunda is halfway between the House and the Senate, and they scurry back and forth for no pay whatsoever. You may recall from yesterday's program that he, late in the day, he saw them exhausted in the rotunda and said, "Get the fuck up off the floor, you little pieces of shit! Wake the fuck up, you little shits! What the fuck are you all doing? Get the fuck out of here! You're defiling the space, you pieces of shit!" Well, in a rare moment of bipartisanship, both Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Moscow Mitch agreed on something. Schumer said, "I was shocked when I heard about it, and I'm further shocked at his refusal to apologize to these young people." And then lo and behold, Moscow Mitch stood up and said,
"I wish to associate myself with the remarks of the majority leader
Everybody on this side of the aisle feels exactly the same way.
Really, Mitch? I'd like to call for a voice vote on that. You really think Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, would upbraid Derek Van Orden? No, I will not call him Derek Van Halen. Shut up. At least I hope I don't. Probably cursed myself now. Do you really, really think that Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and or that thing on his head? Sorry about the and or, Steve. You think he'd say, yeah, I just, because Derek Van Halen, I did it. Derek Van Orden seems like the kind of guy that Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, I'm rich, I'm comfortably well off, I'm socially secure, would want to have beers with. And so then both Schumer and McCarthy, Schumer, according to the weaker speaker, man of silly putty, Kevin McCarthy, whose testicles are in an old mason jar with a rusty lid in the back of Marge's freezer. He said that Schumer had called him. Now Kevers is the Speaker of the House. I want to, at least nominally, until the next feed'em carcass hissy. And as the Speaker of the House, when he says, get me Van Orden on the blower, somebody in the Speaker's office will pick up a telephone and call Van Orden's office. And yet, somehow or another, Kevers said, I haven't been able to speak to him. I'll call him today. I don't know this situation. I saw what was reported. That's not their normal Derek Van Orden. There? They, them pronouns for Derek Van Orden, Kevers? That's okay, Derek. We see you. You're valid. People get cranky when they have, never mind, stop it. And then McCarthy went on to say something even stupid by the Kevin McCarthy standards. I guess the interns have some ritual laying down or something like that. I think it's a misunderstanding. And then someone in Derek Van Orden's office, some spokes creep, said Chuck Schumer should think twice before throwing stones from glass houses. What does that mean? Pretty please? Anybody? Because I don't know. Cory Booker, who comes across as decent a lot of the time, addressed the pages and said, only talking about that person, we only diminish the greatness of these young people. They're phenomenal people and come here and make a big sacrifice. They're smart, they're dedicated, they believe in this country and its highest ideals, and we should be elevating them. Washington Democrat Patty Murray said, my message to the Senate pages, this is one of the most amazing experiences you'll ever have. Take it in, learn a lot, and of course, have fun. My message to out-of-line members of Congress who yell at Senate pages, learn to respect others, especially kids. This guy's going, he's trying to steal some of Marge's thunder. Maybe he'll show up in a hearing soon with some dirty pictures. Emilio. Kevin with the they, them, their pronouns. Kevin's woke! Groomer! Well, in his case. So that's a nice smattering of what we've got on the horizon for the program. And maybe we'll talk some more about... Yeah. I wonder if Sammy Bad Breath has an advisor. Because it's becoming abundantly clear that he has a special relationship with the Wall Street Journal. In fact, there are many who have said that it looks like he's been leaking shit to the Wall Street Journal. Well, after his Wall Street Journal pissatribe today, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said, "What a surprise. Guy who's supposed to enforce checks and balances thinks checks and balances shouldn't apply to him. Too bad. Corruption and abuse of power must be stopped no matter the source. In fact, the court should be most subject to scrutiny because it is unelected and life appointed." And then Ted Lieu, I like Ted Lieu, he's always snappy, said, "Dear Justice Alito, you're on the Supreme Court in part because Congress expanded the court to 9 justices. Congress can impeach justices and can in many cases strip the court of jurisdiction. Congress has always regulated you and will continue to do so. You are not above the law." Such a pissant. But, of course, there's the Wall Street Journal saying,
"The political branches have other weapons they could deploy against the court. The Constitution doesn't specify the number of justices, so the Congress could pack the court."
No, the Congress could expand the court because the Republicans already packed it, dipshits.
"By enacting legislation to expand its size. Last week, a pair of leftist law professors issued an open letter," they put it in dick finger quotes, "urging President Biden to restrain MAGA justices by applying their rulings as narrowly as possible."
Meanwhile, Sammy Bad Breath said that erosion of confidence in the Supreme Court could have unintended consequences. If we're viewed as illegitimate, then disregard of our decisions becomes more acceptable and more popular, so you can have a revival of the massive resistance that occurred in the South after Brown, which would be fine with Sammy Bad Breath. Witness the discussion we had a week or so back about why the Supreme Court issued the Alabama decision that it did, because they knew that the Alabama legislature would just ignore them, which the Alabama legislature then did. I don't know why this seems like it's so damn difficult. And a little bit of just outright vacuous gossip. A lot of us have wondered about this for a long time. Miles Taylor, the author of Blowback, that has a lot of juicy tidbits in it. He was chief of staff in the Department of Homeland Security, you'll recall. He wrote the anonymous letter
talking about, among other things, aides having to piece back together documents that Nitwit Nero tore up in violation of the Presidential Records Act. At one point in time, there was talk of mass resignations in the Nitwit Nero administration. People were surprisingly upset about his border policies, you know, kidnapping children, ripping them away from their mother's breasts and the like. But one administration official mentioned the name of the First Lady, Melanoma, she of the dark and, well, Edward Scissorhands Christmas decorations. In the book, he says, a surprising name came up, First Lady Melania Trump. I didn't press for further details, but one attendee asserted that FLOTUS would actually consider leaving her husband if enough key officials quit. Miles Taylor went on and said that with Julius Geiser wanting to turn away all asylum seekers, weighing the throwing of tear gas at migrants at border crossings to make people feel like their skin was on fire and even shooting those illegally entering the United States, that was the point of contention. Taylor said, I made my position clear. A mass resignation would be a powerful statement about Trump's behavior. It would be impossible for Republicans in the country to look away if Trump's top lieutenants left in a blaze of glory. Interviewed by Newsweek, he said, I found it very interesting at the time that someone had suggested that they had spoken to Melania and felt like there was a chance she would leave her husband if there was the right moment. I don't personally know what undergirds their relationship. Don't you, Miles? Don't you? L-O-T-S O-F M-O-N-E-Y. But he goes on to say that it appeared that there was some sort of contractual obligation Melanoma had to Trump. Yes, we would call that a prenuptial agreement. And when he got elected, there was a renegotiation. That must have been fun. That was about the time that she was sleeping by herself in a locked bedroom, or maybe went back to the tacky palace in New York. Yeah. So we are into the second hour of the program. It is Friday on the front porch. It is time to hopefully bring the band together. And thank you very kindly to Rob. Thank you, Rob. Rob just jumped in, and, well, we are now moving into community-made miracle territory because we are down to under $1,900. And Ralph's challenge is met. So let's see. $1,865 to catch up in a desperate attempt to finish July fully funded. Thank you, Rob. Thank you so very much. Randy Radar says, SCOTUS could easily find Alabama in contempt of court and heavily fine the state. Oh, yes, they could, Randy. And monkeys could also fly out their butts with little bat wings. Actually, the redistricting is being managed by a district court, pretty sure. Maybe the circuit court. It's not a U.S. circuit that's particularly hard on maggot states. Roger, my mic is open.
I haven't seen the call come through yet. Okay. Well, from the Department of people known as black conservatives, both of them, actually, Byron Donalds, that guy in Texas, and dead Herb Cain, and, well, Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, Stan, who fancies himself a presidential candidate, finally had to deal with the inevitable and offer up commentary on the Florida educational standards. You know, the educational standards that have all that palaver in it about the benefits of slavery. Ultimately, it proved beneficial because enslaved people learned skills, but there was no ultimately because people died slaves. So it's not like they bought their freedom and went and never. No. Gave the phone number right at the beginning of the program. If you can't work with Skype, well, the stress line is 844-843-4676. But with both Byron Donalds in Florida, and more importantly, Tim Scott in South Carolina saying that the Florida standards were ahistorical, to say the least. Byron Scott said, as a country founded upon freedom, wait. Tim Scott said, as a country founded upon freedom, the greatest deprivation of freedom was slavery. There is no silver lining in slavery. What slavery was really about was separating families, about mutilating humans, and even raping their wives. It was just devastating, Tim Scott went on to say. So I would hope that every person in our country, and certainly running for president, would appreciate that. And then, proving himself magnanimous, Scott went on to say, of Monkey Up DeKlantis, because Monkey Up's a candidate and Tim Scott's a candidate. People have bad days. Sometimes they regret what they say. And we should ask them again to clarify their positions. So the multimillionaire for-profit media ran right out and asked Monkey Up about what Senator Scott said. And Monkey Up, who apparently had a Mitch McConnell moment and forgot that he was running for the Republican presidential nomination, said, you know, I think part of the reason our country has struggled is because D.C. Republicans often, all too often, accept false narratives, accept lies that are perpetrated by the left, and accept the lie that Kamala Harris has been perpetrating, even when that has been debunked. Blah, 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 blah. That's not the way you do it. The way you do it, the way you lead, is to fight back against the lies, is to speak the truth that slavery was beneficial. Oh, wait. And so I'm here defending my state of Florida against the false accusations and against lies, and we're going to continue to speak the truth. And, well, now black conservatives aren't exactly in love with Monkey Up DeKlantis. And, you know, maybe it would benefit Tim Scott and Byron Donalds and the other black conservative. Maybe it's Candio. Oh, wait. What about Jesse Lee Peterson? Well, no, we haven't heard much from Jesse Lee since he got caught with a man in his mouth. Bold heterosexual that he was. Emphasis on was. But maybe they might want to take a moment to meditate, to reflect, to, I don't know, ponder. That we call Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis Monkey Up because when he had a black opponent in his first run for governor, he suggested that his black opponent, should he become governor, would monkey up the state of Florida. I wonder if anybody's reminded Tim Scott of that fact, or Byron Donalds, or Candio, or... Oh, who are some others? I mean, there are. Roger, the problem here is that unless you call me, I can't bring you in via the iPad, which is how I have to bring you in to the conversation. If I click join call, I do it on the production machine, and I'm kind of screwed if we need to play any audio. So hopefully we'll get that sorted out. Well, here's a little bit of a feel-good story. Snoop Dogg is in the news. Snoop gave $10,000 to help a 93-year-old woman in South Carolina who... developers are trying to evict from her Civil War era home. And it had previously been highlighted, the issue, by Tyler Perry. Josephine Wright has a GoFundMe page to help her continue to own her Hilton Head Island property, if you can imagine. Even a home site in Hilton Head Island probably has massive value. A representative for Snoop told CNN, "I did it from the heart. And Ms. Wright said in her lawsuit that she was facing a constant barrage of tactics of intimidation, harassment, trespass to include this litigation in an effort to force her to sell her property. 93 years old, she's no one to be trifled with. And she said, the developer figured I'd become so unnerved with the harassment I would take the offer. And she said, no. She's so far raised $283,000 of a $350,000 goal. Kyrie Irving, last seen espousing a flat earth theory, gave $40,000 to her. And what's happening, the thing is, what's happening to Ms. Wright has happened all over the coastal South. Sometimes county commissions use elevated property taxes to run people out of their homes so that some developer can take them. Sometimes the developer just takes the direct route. Let me see here. Usually the front porch works differently than this. Let's see if I can get in this way. Oh, okay. Roger says I may have missed the ring all button. Oh, wait, we got a cord to change. Want to have maximum power on this tired old battery when we start up. Okay, y'all there?
Yeah, we're here. I'm here.
Okay, good. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good, good. How was your week?
Hold on, let me shut my car radio off because I had you on. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Now I hear myself. You know what? I got to pull over.
Okay.
I got to pull over and fix this.
Okay. In the meantime, I'll share a tweet from Tamara. Just got back from seeing Barbie, Tamara said. I hope you enjoyed it. It's kind of a hoot. It's a lot of a hoot, isn't it? I'm not sure I heard right. Tim Scott said slaveholders even raped their wives, not raped women. So he's about the propertied men part, but not the autonomy of women's body part of freedom? I hate these people. Well, I mean, it seems kind of natural, but the their wives means the wives of other of enslaved men. But yes, their wives, not raped in the women they enslaved. Kind of like, Tamara, it makes me kind of want to get Tim Scott's take on Thomas Jefferson. And, you know, his dead wife's half-sister, Sally Hemings. That would make his father-in-law his father-in-law for... Well, but no. Couldn't marry her. That's why he built her own room with no windows in it that's now a restroom at Monticello. Or has been restored from being one. Yeah. Thomas Jefferson built Sally Hemings her very own room in the mansion that had no windows. So there was nothing to jump out of and no one could hear her scream. My country to... No. And I'm glad to live in America where there ain't got no windows in Monticello. Never mind. No singing. A reporter at the Washington Post has identified what's being referred to as a weird detail in the superseding indictment handed down yesterday. The weirdness involves the strange movements of Carlos de Oliveira when he had been told by the boss to destroy video footage. Nitwit Nero, who apparently his pettifogger still can't get through to him with the remain silent part of you have the right to, said today,
"Well, I don't think there were ever any videos that were destroyed."
Precisely, dipshit. But the indictment says between 1:31 p.m. and 1:50 p.m., De Oliveira walked through the bushes on the northern edge of the Mar-a-Lago Club property to meet with Waltine Nauta on the adjacent property, then walked back to the IT office that he had visited that morning,
then walked again through the bushes on the northern edge of the Mar-a-Lago Club property to meet with Nauta on the adjacent property. Again, this sounds like slow motion Benny Hill. Now, Philip Bump, writing at the Post. Said, one explanation is that Nauta was engaged in some activity off the Mar-a-Lago grounds and simply couldn't come closer to De Oliveira. Another is that Nauta didn't want to be recorded as having visited Mar-a-Lago that day, either by Secret Service or other employees. Another is that Nauta and De Oliveira, by now very aware that the federal government was interested in movements at the facility, were eager not to be observed. Ultimately, Philip Bump said, at the bottom of all of this, there's the fact that an ex-president's residence where he was keeping American nuclear secrets could be gotten at by slipping through the bushes. Another story noting today that Jack Smith has enough confiscated cell phones to bury a bull elephant, you know, or Donald Trump, and have some left over for the elephant. Oh, and Nitwit Nero said,
I didn't have an Iraq war plan document. That was just a pile of papers.
Eh, there's only one problem. Jack Smith has that, too. Over at MSNBC, Lisa Rubin, speaking with anchor Alex Wagner, said that this is not going to play at all well.
So I think the discovery burden will increase that. Plus, we have the possibility of additional pretrial motions that can't be stopped. And one of those is called a severance motion. That's when one defendant says, I can't get a fair trial if I'm sitting next to that guy. Hmm. That's a hard argument for someone like Walt Nauta to make, particularly given that he remains employed as Trump's body guy. But we don't know
what's
what the
a body
status
guy?
Of
Post
Delaware is right now. We also, he's not as implicated in the criminal charges here as Nauta and Trump are. He could say that the pretrial publicity.
No, really, what's a body guy? It does. It sounds like valet, but valet sounds too fancy. And so Nitwit Nero wants him to sound like it's a mob position, or maybe he's a cut man in the corner of a boxing ring. Never stops.
The surrounding the former president is so massive that he and Nauta can't possibly get a fair trial as ordinary people who work in service of the president.
Well, that seems like a reasonable case to be made, given who we're talking about here.
Yeah, and I think their lawyers probably will make it.
When you talk about the evidence and discovery, there seems to be a lot of electronic records that are mentioned in this. I know this is something that you have flagged. What stood out to you in this superseding indictment?
I think one of the things that stood out to me is really that there are more phones than we knew that were in Jack Smith's possession, right? So one of the things we know is that they have Nauta's phones. How do we know that? Because his text messages are not only cited throughout the indictment and the original indictment too, but because his lawyer said so in open court last week that at least two of his phones were seized through a search warrant. What we now know is that they must have either De Oliveira or Trump employee 4, believed to be Yusil Tavares. They must have their phones as well. Hmm. How do we know that? Because they have electronic communications that are solely between the two of them.
Right.
Oh, dear. That's almost like having Nitwit Nero's phone. That is exactly like having direct evidence of the
conspiracy. Mercy. Okay, let's see. Kevin, you okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
You hear me?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, and I've got... Go ahead.
I've had a good week. How you doing?
Great.
I've had a pretty good week. Weather up here has been kind of like you down there. Haven't had any, like, extremely hot weather like other parts of the country. You know? Been pretty fortunate that way. Really, I feel kind of lucky, you know, doing what I do, being outside all day. So. Hey, did I drop you?
No. You're fine. I have a feeling that what we're getting today is probably headed your way because we got up into the 90s today and then, bam, the heavens opened. But, hey, the power stayed on, so fingers crossed.
Oh, good, yeah. Well, we've had tons of rain. Yeah, we've had tons of rain. Nothing as bad as Vermont, where we are. It's just, you know, just had a lot of rain, minor flooding. Connecticut River, which I live near, some spots, you know, some farmland did get hit pretty well. And I think they got some FEMA help up in Vermont.
That was horrible.
But yeah. A friend of mine took a ride through southern Vermont last weekend and said it was just, you could just see it was still, and we're talking like we're about 2 weeks out of that now, and it's still pretty bad up there in some areas. Some of the water, just some of the damage and everything. Like docks wiped out, you know, on some of these, you know, slips where the boats go and everything. Some boats were up on the shore and all, and, you know, on the river or some of the lakes over there. So anyway, but yeah, you see that thing I posted on the chat room right at the top of the page for today? I did it like 2 o'clock.
Yeah, let me have a quick peep.
With the Huckabee with the child labor thing there.
No, I see it now. Let me open it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, the looks on those poor kids' faces.
I know. I saw those kids, and I was like, oh, my God, look at these kids, you know? And then they put, like, a little, you know, 14-hour, yeah, they're going to get their break.
Yeah, the guy tweeting the photo said, these kids don't look too excited that Arkansas just repealed its child labor laws, but to be fair, they're on their smoke break from their 14-hour shift at the hog processing plant's jowl and tooth separating line. Oh, my, jowl and tooth separating line.
Oh, my God.
This guy, Frank Lesser, is pretty good. As Sarah Huckabee said, if a kid like my brother is mature enough to murder a dog and hang it from a tree, he's old enough to do menial, low-paying labor. But yeah, let's just go back to 1900. Let's go back to the time when Annette's dad, born in 1915, by 1926 was working in the coal mines. That, by God, is when America was great, isn't it?
Yeah, it was great, all right. Some things about America were better back then, not a lot.
Very few. Things, getting old, very getting few old in America was definitely not better.
No. Yeah, you had your family around you, but your family probably wasn't that old. I mean, you know, nobody really lived to be like really old, and like unless they were like really wealthy, obviously, you know, for the most part. You know. But anyway.
Well, it's,
go ahead.
No, I already, I'm sorry. I'm going through and I had that one. Rotted FK is pissing and moaning.
What's he spewing now?
he says that there's a conspiracy to keep him from being protected by Secret Service.
Protected by Secret Service.
Yeah, over on Twitter, now that his Twitter account has been restored and he's able to put out scums again.
He said, I didn't know they took him down.
At one point he was, for spreading vaccine bullshit.
Oh, okay.
Since the assassination of my father in 1968, candidates for president are provided Secret Service protection, but not me. Typical turnaround for pro forma protection requests from presidential candidates is 14 days. After 88 days of no response, oh my God, he did that. He went there. Nobody of Robert Kennedy's caliber uses it. It just happens to be 88 days. After 88 days of no response and after several follow-up... Wait, holy shit, Kevin!
Yeah.
There's two, count them, two Nazi dog whistles in one.
Right?
Typical turnaround time for pro forma protection requests from presidential candidates is 14 days. Okay. The number 14 has special value to Nazis. It refers to the 14 words. The 14 words are, and it's big in white supremacist and Nazi circles. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. 14 words. Pro forma protection request from presidential candidates is 14 days. After 88 days of no response, 88 being sacred to the little evil fox, '88 is sacred to them because H is the eighth letter of the English alphabet, and thus 88 is HH, which is, of course,
Right. So you think he had a publicist throw that one up there, just to kind of like with the dog whistle?
Well, you got to remember who brought him into the race. That was the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells. Stevie Three Shirts. And he's up to his eyeballs in white supremacy, white nationalism, Nazis.
Oh, yeah. Aryan Nations.
And then what proved heartbreaking to a number of members of this community, and I'm sure the truth seekers over at the Malloy camp as well. Yeah, Dennis Kucinich signed on as his campaign manager.
That was a jaw-dropper for me, because my letter carriers union actually... when Kerry was running, I believe, said that he was the best candidate for president at the time. And I believed it because, you know, the guy, well, you heard his story, what he did in Cleveland, right? He bucked the system and he got, you know, they got him out of there. But, you know, he caused a lot of good trouble, you know, back in the day.
Well, it was bad enough that the mob put a hit out on him.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I voted for Kerry, you know, but I was looking at Kucinich. I'm like, oh, man. You know, I just knew Kucinich didn't have a chance. I didn't want to waste my vote, you know. So, I mean, if he had gotten momentum, and, you know, that would have been one thing. But I knew it was either Kerry or, you know. But, yeah, our union said, yeah, Dennis Kucinich out of all the candidates at the time. Including Kerry.
Well, he was definitely the most pro. Definitely the most pro labor candidate.
Oh yeah, by far. I mean, yeah, he blew everybody out of the water. And I'm like, man, I'm like, now, you know, why isn't he? I mean, you look what's going on. UPS, you know, they're looks like they're going to settle. I was talking to some of the drivers that I see out there, and they're happy. They look like, you know, because I get coffee in the morning, and at Dunkin' Donuts. And one of the workers there were saying, oh, yeah, we had to get direct deposit because UPS delivers our checks. This was like last week or beginning of this week. Yeah, Monday, I think it was, or Tuesday. And I said, oh, wow. You know, because I'm like, man, because they're 1 week away, July 31st, of going on strike. It looks like they got a tentative agreement. They're going to – I haven't heard anything since
And
then.
It's interesting that both the union leadership, you know, the Teamsters, and the corporate leadership came out almost as a mutual admiration society.
Yeah, you don't see that too often.
No.
Well, you know, 7 days, think about it. 7 days, that's usually like coast to coast. That's what it takes. You know, usually it's 5 days, you know, coast to coast, like California to the East Coast for delivery window. Usually that's most delivery companies, including the post office, like 5 days, you know, letter, package, whatever you have. And so 7 days, if they got under that 7 days, and let's say they were, you know, miles apart like today, right? Now we're talking, what, a couple days. Just you know, they'd be panicking right now, all the shippers and everybody, you know. So if they got the word out 7 days ago, I mean, with 7 days to go, so that's going to put the shippers and people that order stuff at ease, knowing that they're going to, you know, get their package. They're not going to have any delays. Because I was preparing, you know, for 10-hour work days because – or even more, because we would have had to pick up the slack and FedEx and DHL and who knows, right? So, but it looks like they averted it. And, you know, they gave them everything they wanted, apparently. Wage increases, MLK day off. I think they had the day after Thanksgiving off already.
I think they eliminated a subclass of membership.
Yeah, it was called a combo route. Like, you work, driver was telling me about it. You'd work inside, and then you drive the truck also, and you got paid less. Go figure.
Oh, yeah, and frankly, one of the I would say, it blows my mind that they hadn't gotten there already, but one of the things that makes being a UPS driver so damn difficult is, I mean, consider times like right now. Or say in Arizona or Florida or anywhere in the Southeast.
Uh-huh.
Those trucks aren't air conditioned.
No, but I guess the new ones are going to be.
But because of this contract agreement, the new ones will be.
Yep. And we've got some temporary new vehicles. Mercedes makes, it's like a right-hand drive minivan. That's the way I'll describe it. And it's got the tray on the left side, like just like the regular mail trucks you see out there now, the old ones that were built in the 80s and 90s that are still going around. I drive one of those with a 4-inch fan for no AC.
How do you stay hydrated in the heat?
One good thing about our office is they drop ship water, which is great. So, and we have a bubbler in the break room. So if you bring your own container, you can fill that up. Although it's been on the fritz lately, figures. But I just luckily my route, I have a lot of parking and walking, and I have a lot of shade. I've got a lot of shady streets where I can park my truck in the shade. Of course, I'm not always in the shade, but at least where I park in what they call park and loop, you get out to deliver, walk one up one side of the street, down the other. I can leave in the shade, so by the time I get back to the truck and I work out of the rear of the truck whenever possible. I open the tailgate and I stand outside. I don't get into the cab because the cab, obviously, that's, you know, add 20 degrees to whatever it is outside, you know, just with all that glass in front there. Glass on three sides.
So in cold weather, is there at least heat?
Yeah. There's an inside door you can shut and it's got pretty good heat. And then you shut that inside door and you crank that heat. You can kind of, and then have some foot warmers, hand warmers, you know, and all your other gear. I have no problem getting warm in the winter. It's just in the summer, and it's the humidity is what does it. It's like, it's just, you know, you're breathing, and you're just like, you know, just that heavy.
I mean, how did we get to the third year of the third decade of the 21st century with unair conditioned delivery vans?
You got me. I think Amazon, I think theirs are air conditioned.
How about FedEx?
I think they maybe got newer trucks as well. We're the only dinosaurs out there. Us and UPS. For the most part. The newer mail trucks, I guess next spring they're supposed to roll out like a completely, and I don't think they're going to be electric. Remember there was a big hang up with the Joy. You know, he wanted to take care of his cronies in the oil industry or whatever, insisted on, you know, the new postal trucks to be gas, you know, which is stupid. But I guess they're going to do it. Then they were arguing, well, you know, what kind of electrical capacity are they going to have for a fleet? Are they going to be able to provide the power? I'm like, sure, I'm sure they can find a way to do that. I mean, you know, but I guess we'll find out. Next spring, they're supposed to roll out. Like I said, right now they have these Mercedes vans, but they're temporary. And we only got four of them. We have how many routes in my building between rural and city? Like 30 routes or 25 routes. So they brought four Mercedes right, and those have air conditioning. And they have a really nice backup camera. And one of my buddies that has a route adjacent to mine, he drives that thing. I got a good look at it. It works pretty good. So, but it's gas. It's gasoline.
Right, because, anyway. You know, we can't have any future vehicles.
Yeah.
Wouldn't want those.
Yeah, they were really gung-ho on it, but, like you know, we're still hung up on the Board of Governors there, that one Democrat that's been – Rogers talked about it. Heard him
yeah.
About it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're trying to get him out of there, but I don't see any
– Well, let me share a couple of emails and a really huge thank you. Thank you, Joan. It's great to hear from you, Joan. And – we are now down to 1565, trying to close out July close to even. Heck, it would be a victory if we could get down below 1,000. Thank you, Joan. I can't begin to give adequate words to the surprise and delight of hearing from you and your help. Jonah, we appreciate it. All of us do so very much. So, like I said, we're down to 1565 from 2600 at the beginning of the program. Joan, that's amazing.
Wow. That's huge. Oh, my God.
Yes.
I didn't know it was 2600. Oh, my God. I thought you guys made a move yesterday. I thought you were under 2000 yesterday. I don't know why.
We would have been if the Lassie Down the Well challenge had been met.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
But it got met today, and that's just so tremendous. A couple of notes coming in from Flavio, one from Flavio going back to Derek Van Orden. He's, Flavio reports, he's a fucking religious fanatic, Christo-fascist. He's from Prairie du Chien, which is Hicksville. Part of the problem is when Ron Kind retired, the local Dems didn't put up a stronger candidate. Brad Pfaff ran a lackluster campaign. Also, turnout was low. Such an embarrassment. But, you know, Flavio, a question. I mean, Minnesota nice is a thing. And it's been my experience that people in Wisconsin are pretty damn nice, too. When it gets out around his district, you know, the tawdry and inexcusable and ugly things he said to teenagers and him being a Christian and all, you little pieces of shit, get up off the floor, you little fucks. I mean, it's nasty. It's a grown man talking to teenagers. Flavio, how is that going to play with the... with the good and decent people of Prairie du Chien?
I bet there's a few fathers out there that want to have a word with that guy.
Why yeah, in involving knuckles and teeth.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't just boys he was talking to. That was girls, too.
Oh! Nah, he ain't going to skate with that one. I hope not. I just hope
not. Well, from your mouth to God's ears, Kevin. And Darlene writes in, oh, my fucking God. Kucinich is his campaign manager? Yeah. Oh, you must have missed the other night. Yeah, last week when he was sitting there
when Rotted FK was sitting there lying and paranoia and whatever, Dennis was sitting behind him. Somebody said, why is that? Why is Dennis there? And I explained that because that he's his campaign manager. And Elizabeth, who's a friend, or was a friend, has been a friend, was there too. So Darlene says, Kucinich is his campaign manager. I still haven't gotten over him and his pierced-tongued wife sitting behind RFK Jr. supporting him with that stupid, oblivious, dumbass half-smile on his face. The fuck happened? Attempting to sabotage the re-election of the most progressive Democratic president this country's ever had? Unforgivable. Well, there's a little history to be had here. Dennis was always a Democrat, but he represented in Congress a district that was big-time Polish, which means big-time Catholic.
Oh, yeah.
And for a long time, and I guess a lot of people don't know it, Dennis was a pro-life Democrat. An anti-abortion Democrat.
There's 8 people there in that club.
And then he eventually came around to being pro-choice. This may be a case of progressive, of that old assertion that politics and political alignments are not linear but circular. And if you go along, if you go far enough around to, toward the left, you'll wind up on the right.
Yeah.
Because I suspect that Dennis is involved because, and Elizabeth by extension, because they are both absolute pacifists. I mean, not just anti-war, I think pacifists. So Dennis has made some noises in the past about being opposed to us helping Ukraine keep Russia from running in and just raping them. And I guess, I'm not guessing, Rotted FK has made similar mouth noises because there's a certain... Todd, if you're listening, hey, yeah, love to hear from you sometime. Todd... And it used to talk about how we'd talk about how the Venn diagram of this and the Venn diagram of that was just a circle. Well, anti-vaxxers and hardcore, hard left, far left, whatever term we're using. I mean, we're not talking about Marxists or anything. We're just talking about, well, the sparkle fart propelled unicorn cavalry purity patrol. But there's a lot of overlap. You know, anti-vaxxers aren't always Republicans, Kevin.
I'm surprised that, I mean, I don't know any Democrats that are, but I'm sure they are out there.
Oh, they are.
You know, it's a big country.
Yeah. Know? And so I think the strategy here is for Rotted FK to draw votes from Biden.
From the hard left.
Via the hard left.
Yeah.
But to get back to the Rotted FK story that we were talking about, so he, you know, 14 days and 88 days.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out he was full of shit.
Okay.
Michael Scherer at the Washington Post said presidential candidates generally don't get Secret Service protection until year of election and only if likely nominee. Obama was the exception in May of 2007. DHS and a panel of congressional leaders decide, and the reason Obama got it was because bloodthirsty Klansmen and Nazis and white supremacists came out of the woodwork hollering about how they wanted to slaughter him and his family. I don't know of anyone out there talking about they want to kill Rotted FK. CNN's Edward Isaac DeVore said, almost always candidates receive protection around when they become the nominee unless there's a major threat assessment before. In 2020, Biden, Buttigieg, and several others employed private security through the primaries,
Biden got his detail a while after Super Tuesday. So once again, Rotted FK just proves himself to be a paranoid lunatic liar.
He's got the money.
But he doesn't want to spend it on a private security detail now, does he?
No, but Bannon's shoveling him the money. And if he keeps getting the money from Bannon or whatever, whatever dark forces are out there, just keeping his mouth going for the next, God, I hope it's not, the next 16 months or whatever, how far the election's off. If they keep that, his gibberish going, and then you couple that with no labels, it's going to take an enormous turnout this time. And Biden, he got a ton of votes last time,
The man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells knows that he has to peel votes away from Biden to weaken him in order to close the gap that already exists between Biden and several points back, Nitwit Nero.
I was going to ask you a question. I thought about a question to ask. Let's just say, the stars align and Donald Trump is taken out of the picture as far as either natural causes or he's, convicted and thrown in jail and, decides to. Do you think Biden could beat whoever the Republican presidential candidate would be?
If the economic numbers keep improving, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
I guess there's big talk about that. Who's that guy with the long name, the Republican candidate?
Vivek Ramaswamy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess they're talking about him being a sleeper.
Well, they're talking about they're talking about Chris Christie being a sleeper too. I mean, Chris Christie said, talking to Eric Bolling the other day, right wing hellhole. He said, "Yeah, I'm at 6%, but look where Trump was in 2016 behind Jeb Bush."
Yeah, I heard him say that.
And the way that Monkey Up is imploding. There are people out there who watch Republican politics who say that there is a scenario where it's Tim Scott.
Hmm. Yeah, he could possibly bridge things if he could.
So if something happens.
How much of the crazy do they got to buy in?
If something happens, it could get topsy-turvy. But at this point in time, there's nothing that's going to stop the maggots from being on the Trump train.
I could see them drafting.
And there is there is no law against convicted felons running for president.
No.
Imagine having to make the argument to the electorate,
"You've got to elect me president so I can pardon me. You've got to elect me president so I don't go to prison."
They're not going to put him in a prison if he gets convicted, right? It's going to be like a house arrest type thing, right?
You think?
Pretty much what the consensus is. You have to. He's got to be isolated. He's got,
I think we can figure out a way to imprison him. If he's convicted, we'd better, by God, figure out a way to imprison him.
You can put him at a supermax and just.
What about the scenario if some secretaries of state invoke the third clause of the 14th Amendment and say he engaged in insurrection, because the 14th Amendment doesn't say you have to be convicted but you just have to have participated. And if California and New York and a few other states deny his access to the ballot based on the 14th Amendment.
That seems like a reach.
Yeah, given
I understand it's a reach.
Especially if the conviction for, say, cooking up January 6th is not final, as in has gone all the way to the Supreme Court.
But again, the 14th Amendment does not say you have to have been convicted.
No, it doesn't, but it would be interpreted that way.
Well, but I thought the Supreme Court was a strict constructionist, and therefore they wouldn't have had to have conviction. They just have to have participated. I mean, the lowliest private in the Confederate Army never went through a conviction, but they were outlawed from holding office until Abraham Lincoln pardoned them all.
I don't think it's going to play that way. Because among other things, there have been repeated attempts to use the 14th Amendment that were unsuccessful. Georgia, Arizona, North Carolina. And that would just, in turn, create another layer of appeals. I got to thinking about it, and what I really want, I mean, I want him convicted on everything. One conviction after another. But honestly, I think it would be interesting to see what would happen if he got convicted in Georgia on felony charges.
Well, I believe the count is now up to 74 counts without January 6th or Georgia.
Right, yeah. But the thing is, I got, you know, just goddess of irony stuff, because, you know, I try to do my obeisance. Imagine Donald Trump being sent to the same prison where the killers of Ahmaud Arbery are. That smells like justice to me.
Gen Pop smells like justice. Yeah.
Precisely. Oh, and I am happy to announce that we are down to 1555. Jude said, just got home from work and offering a humble $10. There's nothing humble about it. To celebrate Kevin from Colorado Springs' birthday. Kevin is my dear friend, and we connect often via the phone, a voice that I love and trust. And again, yes, happy birthday, Kevin, and thank you so much. And Jude, that is just warm and sweet of you, which is exactly what I would expect.
We need to have John Bridevo come and do his usual pitch. $1,500? Are you shitting me?
Well, I guess okay, so now we're down at 1555. We can just say what it is to end the month of July, period. It's 1855. Because there's only one show left to go, and that's Monday, 1855. So... We'll see how things play out. We're into the third hour of the program. I guess it's kind of a quiet evening on the front porch here. Emilio, I heard, and Kevin, Roger.
Yep.
I think Ken's in the room, and there's Squeaky. Oh, and somebody's on the stress line. Let's find out. Hey, welcome to the program.
It's me. It's me, Robin. It's me, Reggie from Decatur, Georgia. Long time no see or hear from.
How you doing, Reggie? Say hi to the group. Group, say hi to Reggie.
Hi, Reggie.
Hi, Reggie.
How you guys? Robin, why are so many people still obsessed or harping on Hunter Biden? I mean, how many times did he have to apologize for him? Forever? Two of them forever? Why are they still obsessed with him?
Because they think it'll hurt Joe Biden. They think it'll hurt Joe. I mean, he's already made it clear. President Biden's already made it clear. No, he will not pardon his son.
Right. Well, they keep going after him. They keep going after him.
Well, and they won't stop.
You know what I'm saying, though?
They're an outrage.
No, of course they won't stop.
They have to have something to complain about. Something that's not real.
No, they won't stop. No, they won't stop. And, you know, it's like they're not, you know, it's like he's not trying to, I mean, he's trying to defend himself, but they won't stop going after him. You know?
No, they'd like to see him dead, Reggie.
They'd like to see him dead.
Yeah.
Isn't that murder?
No, just wanting somebody to be dead is not murder. They want to hound
him. Wish him dead.
They want to hound him to death. Well, Reggie, you can't not know this.
Yeah.
But this whole thing is a diversion to distract from the arguably criminal behavior of Nitwit Nero's nasty gits, with the exception of Tithania.
Right.
You know, the forgotten daughter.
Right. And, you know, if it's not that, then they're going after, if it's not that, then they're going after a movie of a fictional character. They're bitching about Barbie again. You know what I mean?
Well, doesn't this tell you something, Reggie?
Yeah, they're insane.
No. Let's work through this.
Yeah.
I said, doesn't this tell you something? You said, yeah, that they're insane. No. Doesn't it tell you that they can't talk about any substantive issue in the United States today because they don't have anything better to offer relative to what President Biden's doing?
Yeah.
Gas prices are coming down. What are they going to do? Attack Joe Biden for gas prices coming down? Unemployment is going down. They can't attack him for unemployment going. So the other day when, you know, Moscow Mitch had his moment.
Yeah.
They were in a press conference talking about how Joe Biden's destroying America's ability to produce energy.
Right. You know they can't attack Moscow. You know the media can't. You know the media can't or won't attack Moscow Mitch or talk about him rather because they're far way too scared of him, and they won't have access to him if they do or did. Or am I wrong and crazy for saying that, Rob?
No, I don't think so. Now this is a little piece of breaking news that I find interesting, and it's an act of decency. His son Hunter had a child out of wedlock with a woman in Arkansas back in 2018. The woman's name is London Roberts.
Right.
The granddaughter's name is Navy.
Right.
Hunter Biden has paid her breathtaking amounts of money as part of child support.
Right. Right.
And up until recently, President Biden has said, I have six grandchildren. Because it was so contentious, you know, London Roberts didn't want anything to do with the Biden family.
Right.
But, today, for the first time, President Biden, showing his fundamental common decency, said, our son Hunter and Navy's mother, London, are working together to foster a relationship that is in the best interest of their daughter, preserving her privacy as much as possible going forward. This is not a political issue. It is a family matter. Jill and I only want what is best for all of our grandchildren, including Navy.
Right. But they're going to attack him on that.
Oh, they've been attacking him on it.
Of course they have. Of course they have.
Plus, if the Republicans told the truth and just said that... Sorry.
No, go ahead, Emilio, please.
I mean, plus if the Republicans just told the truth and said, we're just here to give money to the billionaires and more tax cuts and everything, no one would vote for them. So they have to latch on to all these lies, and they have to stoke the racism and the sexism that's always been part of this country.
Right. And for his part, Hunter Biden, who is in recovery, okay, and recovery is not easy. He's doing the things that recovery requires. He was talking about the night that he and London Roberts conceived little Navy Jane. And he said, I had no recollection of our encounter. That's how little connection I had with anyone. I was a mess, but a mess I've taken responsibility for. Has anybody ever heard Trader Tot Don Jr. say anything like that? How about Eric the Dumber? Or how about I wank a my daddy Trump Kushner? They've never taken responsibility for shit.
Exactly. 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 But yet they want the Bidens to take responsibility for everything that's underneath the sun. Correct, Robin?
Sure.
I mean, you know, they won't leave him alone for a second.
Because that's the nature of American politics, in which the goal is not victory, but absolute destruction.
Yeah, true. Right, true. Absolute destruction and, you know, and defeat. And defeat. And they don't like the plea deal that he got either. They're attacking him on that. You know what I'm saying, Robin?
Look, Reggie, they're going to attack him on everything.
Of course they will.
Yeah, if he had a bad haircut, they'd attack that.
Precisely, Emilio.
Of course. And how did we allow this to happen, Robin? How exactly did we allow this all to happen? In politics.
How did what makes you think we allowed this to happen, Reggie?
I mean, well, how did this happen? Well, okay, how exactly did all this happen?
You can take a lot of this and lay it at the feet of the Supreme Court's Citizens United decision, but you can go further back from that, and you can pinpoint the expansion of white wing media with the Telecommunications Act of 1996. And you can go further back from that, and you can, and not that I'm particularly fond of it, but you can point to Ronald Reagan and the elimination of the Fairness Doctrine.
Of the Fairness Doctrine?
Yeah, and then you go back from that to 1972 and the Powell Memo. But you go back from 1972 and you're in 1964, and it's the aftermath of the shellacking that LBJ gave to Barry Goldwater, and Republican money getting together and saying, this will never happen again.
Right. Well, it started all the way back in the mid-60s.
And so 1968, presidential candidacy of George Wallace, and the politics of white resentment, and George Wallace damaged, you know, he didn't damage Richard Nixon. He damaged Hubert Humphrey.
Right.
We will never know if he could have damaged Lyndon Johnson, because I think George Wallace would have shit his pants if Lyndon Johnson came after him. But Lyndon Johnson elected not to run in 1968 because Vietnam was hanging around his neck like a millstone and a rotten albatross.
Right. That's true. And he didn't want any further black backlash.
Hold on, Reggie. Hold on. What'd you say, Roger?
I said, and the defunding of higher education, creating an us versus them society.
Yeah, pointy-headed intellectuals and all that.
Yeah.
And the nattering nabobs of negativity.
Thank you, Spiro Agnew.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Hillary.
So, he's saying that the only reason why he...
Hold on, somebody else is talking. Reggie, somebody else is talking.
Sorry.
I think there's a delay.
Hey, Ken.
Stress line occurred, but I was thinking that Hillary Clinton's best right for conspiracy.
Well, she was right when she said it was there, but the thing is, it had been there for a very long time.
Yeah, it's not, you can, it's not completely prove a conspiracy, but they all winking at each other. They know what each other is talking about. Their own self-interest, so to speak.
So I wanted to move on to another story real quick.
Before that, that fuck stick, what's his name?
Who, Ken?
That congressman that was berating pages. You know, fuck that guy.
Oh, yeah, Van Orden. Van Orden of Wisconsin.
Well, see, they gave him a stern letter of warning. But how about you get kicked out because you're an asshole? How can you do that to kids? I mean...
Well, if there is an ethics complaint, and there should be, and the ethics committee issues a recommendation, any member of the House can be thrown out of the House on a 2/3 majority vote.
Yeah, but the margins are so thin, and Mr. Noble.
Yeah, Ken, your audio, you're really far away from your mic.
Is that any better?
Yes, much.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. Somebody else is talking too.
That might be on my end. Let me check. Go ahead with your next story, please.
Okay.
I know.
Reggie, is that you?
Hello.
Yeah.
Oh, Robin, you were saying you wanted to move on.
Yeah, I do. But Ken was trying to talk, and somebody was talking behind him, and I couldn't. Yeah. No, this is important because...
Go ahead, Rob.
Well, thank you, Reggie.
You're welcome.
The state of Ohio, the Buckeye State, and by the way, going back for mentioning Ohio, Darlene pointed out, following up about Dennis Kucinich, that he and Elizabeth are also Buddhists. You know, Dennis was a vegan back, you know, back at the beginning of the century. I think he had chronic Crohn's disease, and going vegan alleviated his problems. But Darlene says, so Kucinich wasn't really a true progressive Democrat, and by the way, and this is nauseating, I didn't know this, he's good friends with Jim Jacketoff Jordan, attended his daughter's wedding. Reminiscent of Mueller and Barr, and we know how that ended for Mueller and the rest of us. Truth, Darlene. And if he's friends with Jim Jacketoff Jordan, he's friends with Jim Jacketoff Jordan because ever since he lost his congressional seat in, I think, 2000, was it 12, 13, maybe 14? Now, it has to be maybe 12 or 13. The minute he lost his job there in Congress, he was immediately snatched up by Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, where he would show up and be the loyal opposition. And, of course, the rules there are that it doesn't matter how brilliant you are, if you are a liberal, if you are a progressive, the wingnut always gets the last word. I mean, that's how it was going all the way back to Hannity and Combs. That's how it works there. So that's that. But I wanted to mention the fact that Oh, and Tamara, with a message for Darlene, says, damn, Kucinich. Thanks, Darlene. And let me check here. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the audio, Steve, in Georgistan. Steve said Reggie's potted way up, and some folks on Skype can barely hear him. And yet, oddly enough, if you saw the faders here, it looks exactly the opposite. But anyway, I want to go back to Ohio, where they're going to have probably the only constitutional question regarding a woman's right to control the workings of her own body this year. There is a constitutional amendment proposed that would enshrine access to abortion in the Ohio State Constitution. And everybody's watching it because it might give us an idea of what's going to be important in 2024. According to a USA Today Suffolk University poll that came out this week, 58% of Ohioans support that constitutional amendment. And the only thing required for that amendment to pass is 50% plus one vote. The simplest of simple majorities. Well, Republicans, as we have found out over and over and over again, cannot win without cheating. So now, thanks to the Republican majority in the legislature, they have set up a special election on August the 8th, a week from Tuesday. That special election is for what is called Ohio Issue 1. Republicans have no interest whatsoever in democracy, ever. The will of the people, the voice of the majority. Nope. Not if it's not their voice. A woman's right to control her own reproductive workings it's not just a plurality, it's not just a narrow majority, it is supported by a vast majority of American citizens. Because a lot of American citizens who aren't the handling snakes and swigging strychnine and rolling on the floor and speaking in tongues and pouring Crisco all over each other, gargling holy water, understand that it is far too complicated an issue for government to involve itself in, and that in fact, well, the abortion issue is what put the House in such a narrow majority. Because women responded in 2022 and told the Republicans exactly what they thought of them. And if it weren't for fuck-ups like New York, sorry, the Democrats might still have the majority. That's got to gall the shit out of Hakeem Jeffries because he comes from New York. But the GOP, knowing what they're looking at, have crafted Ohio Issue 1 to raise the threshold for a constitutional amendment beyond a simple majority, 50% plus one, to 60%. A supermajority. So if they can get that passed on August the 8th, then in order to amend the Ohio Constitution, more than 60% of the people voting for that amendment will have to approve it. So then we ask the natural question, cherchez l'argent, find the money. Well, there is, of course, in Ohio, an AstroTurf group full of mouthwalkers and knuckle breathers and people who pick their teeth with their toenail clippings and pour Crisco on each other and gargle holy water and roll on the floor and handle snakes and babble in unknown tongues. And they call themselves, get this, they're trying to stop a democratic process by raising the threshold to 60%, and they call themselves Protect Our Constitution, when every constitutional amendment in the state of Ohio has passed by a 50% plus one majority. Whether it passed by 52%, 58%, 64%, 73%, 92%, whatever. The only requirement was 50% plus one. But that was okay. But this is about the precious little fetuses. They have thus far raised Protect Our Constitution $4.85 million. Of that $4.85 million, one man gave $4 million of it. And that is a creep named Richard Uline out of, he's not even from Ohio. He's from Illinois. And he's the head of the Uline Cardboard Box Corporation. And so he's a fetus fetishist. He's never been pregnant. He'll never be pregnant. He'll never know the fear or the horror or the trepidation of carrying a baby inside him that is still alive, but horribly, horribly, horribly maldeveloped. He'll never know the fear of perhaps having to bleed to almost to death before he can get relief from a deadly pregnancy. But he's got a huge family, so it's pretty obvious he likes to fuck. He treated his wife's uterus like a goddamn clown car. And she, being a self-hating Republican woman, was like, well, let me get my big red rubber nose, honey. Among other things, the family foundation that he controls has pumped some $18 million to an organization in Florida that want to make changes to their constitutional amendment process. And the processes that the Florida-based organization is pushing in other states all around the United States of America. Hilariously, the maggots in Ohio said that the original reason for Ohio Issue 1 was to keep outside interests from coming in and influencing Ohio elections. They are, of course, sickening hypocrites. And the reason they're shooting for that 60% threshold? Well, last year in both Kansas and Michigan, voters came out and preserved constitutional access to abortion by just slightly less than 60%. So if you receive any deliveries, and I don't know if Kevin is still in the room.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Kevin, do you ever deliver any boxes that say Uline on the bottom?
Oh, tons of them. I know what they are. Yep. Big cardboard company.
Fucking evil.
Yeah. Well, I knew, like, what was it? Kansas and Michigan, right? Or Nebraska and Michigan? What was it again?
Kansas and Michigan.
Kansas and Michigan. I like, okay, they're not going to let that happen again. And so now here we go. So is there any federal
they can't get involved, right? With like some time, not in time for the election, right? Or like an appeal?
No, no.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a constitution. But the funny thing is, and this is the hilarious part, in order to pass Ohio Issue 1, making constitutional amendments a necessary 60% vote, it only has to pass by 50% plus one.
Of course. Yeah, the hypocrisy is just crazy. Oh, my God.
And I'm sure there's a clause in there that if that constitutional amendment is to be repealed, it will require the 60% vote, but it only took 50% to put it in.
Right.
They did the same thing in California with Prop 13, which was a property tax screw job to the people of California.
I had almost forgotten Prop 13, but it's still doing its pernicious work, isn't it?
Yeah, the average house in California changes hands about every 5 years, but the average piece of commercial real estate, because it's wrapped up in an LLC, never changes hands. And so any existing company property is taxed at the 1978 rate plus a 1% per year increase. But any residential real estate, i.e. single family homes, is taxed at its most recent resale value. And so the vast majority of property tax income, it used to be split about 50-50 between corporate and private residential. And now private residential is somewhere on the upside of 75% of the property tax revenue. So it was a shift from corporate to individuals.
In Massachusetts, we had Proposition 2.5, which came out shortly after, what was California's Proposition 13, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, shortly after that, they had Proposition 2.5 here, and that saying is it passed, and so now property taxes can't go up more than 2.5% unless you have an override vote. So if you want a school or more cops or what have you, local people can do a 2.5 override and let their property taxes go up by whatever percentage that they're saying they're going to need to fund, you know, whatever.
Well, but in the historic nature of it, the property taxes have gotten high and very few people want to increase their property taxes, which I can understand. But right. By the same token, it's the large corporations that have simply put that increased profit into their pockets.
Yep.
I mean, if I were to go down here, I'm thinking of in California, and I go and decide I want to build a store and, you know, buy a piece of property, build a store and open a storefront, my property taxes are going to be much higher than that store that is still in the company that I'm leasing it from the company that had it back in 1978 when Prop 13 went in. And I have to charge higher prices in my store because my costs are a hell of a lot higher.
Yeah.
And so it stifles new business.
Yeah, thanks to Ronnie Reagan.
Yeah.
Part of it anyway.
Yeah.
Ronnie Reagan and his movement. I'm not saying that Ronnie was behind it in any way, shape, or form, but the people that followed Ronnie Reagan and think he's still God's gift to humanity are the reason for it. And again, it's because we have a lack of education.
Pardon me, but it looks like Emilio is trying to say a bunch of stuff. But
okay, let me thank Emilio, because Emilio just got jumped in, celebrating and jumping his stock portfolio. Got to watch those capital gains, Emilio. We are now down and we're counting Monday now too, because that's the last show of the month. The deficit for July is now down to $1,845. So basically, at this point, We're a little over 6 days unfunded. So that's Monday and all of this week. And $45 last Friday. So, thank you, Amelia. Thank you very kindly. Sure.
But no, I wasn't really trying to say, I mean, maybe I had a little joke or something, but I don't remember what it was.
Okay. Let me check here, see if any emails rolled in.
A special shout-out to Kevin in Colorado Springs.
Yes. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to him. He's been a member for... He's been a part of your call for quite a while.
Oh, and so has Joan. Joan has long been a member of this community.
I don't remember Joan.
Joan is pre-you.
Okay, well... tell her to call.
But, thank you both. You were instrumental in helping to salvage a whole bunch of this, what was looking like a totally disastrous month.
I really wanted to do more, Robin. But,
Ken, please, no, stop. Don't you even. No.
I can't. No, I'm going to cry.
Don't do that. Do not do that. There's no crying in Friday on the front porch.
Or golf.
Or baseball, according to that movie. I'll tell you what, speaking of which, I'm really getting a kick out of the Justified City Primeval. It's on FX. Timothy Oliphant's back. Great story, originally a novel by Elmore Leonard. And it's the villains are... I was joking earlier. The villain in this is so bad, it's like, I want to see him go into a wood chipper. Slowly. Like, you remember the guy... Remember how the guy got steamrollered in... the Austin Powers movie? It just went on and on. Yeah, that.
Oh, hell yeah.
And we're all caught up with Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
And Argo. Go ahead.
And I don't know if that episode of Star Trek Strange New Worlds was the season ender. It was number 8. And maybe they only go 8 episodes now. And in an entirely selfish position, I wish the hell the producers would knuckle under and stop being such bastards and put Hollywood back to work, because do you realize the dry spell we're going to be dealing with for a year, 2 years now? With the slowing of... Well, stoppage of every bit of production, except, did y'all see this? There's that Gulf one,
Stream.
No, there's that one stupid Jesus series. And the unions gave a waiver to that series to continue production.
Busy Tales?
No, it's a movie about Jesus. It's not a movie, it's a series. Jesus has his own series.
We got to call up Dave from the Blind. We got to fire up another cross.
Oh, they're working overtime, but down at the shop. But that's okay. Gladys keeps them honest. But yeah, for some reason or another, the unions gave a pass to a bullshit evangelical Jesus series. Oh, and the other thing, speaking of which, you know, the big ones at the box office right now are Barbenheimer, Barbie and Oppenheimer. And it's big. But there's a third film that's raking it in because you know, there's no easier dollar than picking the pockets of maggots and evangelicals. I mean, if you think about, for instance, what the production cost is on a Jesus chicken sandwich, it's probably pennies by the time all is said and done. But by God, the maggots will line up because it's good religious chicken. Well, I forget the name of this movie, but it's all about child trafficking. Or at least it appears to be on its face. And the guy who played Jesus in that snuff film that Mel Gibson made eons ago, Jim the Weasel or whatever his name is, he is behind or involved with this. And it's raking in money hand over fist. And it should have been a straight to video.
Sound of Freedom, is that it?
Yes, 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 thank you.
I just looked it up.
Yeah, it's making a ton of money. So while little Benny Drywife Shapiro's out there immolating Barbies in his Weber, they're lining up to see the child sex trafficking movie, and of course it trades on the typical right wing memes and tropes. There might be a little bit of truth in it, but not much by the time the spin and the twisting has happened. Ugh. It's just gross. And a pair of thank yous to send out. Thank you, Terry. And thank you so much to Barbara for stepping in on this. We are now down to 1745. So we are fully funded for last Friday. And we are into this past Monday. So thank you so much, Terry, and thank you so much, Barbara. This is
just getting to
pay bills and knowing that we'll have a show going into August is a big damn deal.
Barbie and Ken didn't have any genitalia. I wonder if Ben Shapiro does. Barbie's alleged wife.
I'm sorry, what?
I said Barbie and Ken didn't have any genitalia.
Oh,
I wonder if I don't know.
They've got kids, but, you know.
I don't know. Ben Shapiro, like, maybe doesn't
have
any.
I have no
any.
Idea how Ben Shapiro could ever father children. Guy's voice is higher than Joey Jr. We didn't hear from Joey and the
Benny
gang.
Mouse.
Oh, and our anonymous friend says, thanks for the company, Ken.
That's why he can't make his wife wet, because he doesn't have, just like Ken, he doesn't have anything there.
You know, just, I don't want to take out dinner in the Pacific Daylight Time Zone. I don't want to go into any details on that. We just know the little freak's gross. By the way, he's got a really gross sister, too. I mean, it must mean there's some pretty gross parents back there. I can't imagine what would ever marry Ben Shapiro, but, you know. Somebody for everybody, I guess.
Ew.
I know.
I haven't seen any of the new Star Trek stuff. I've seen just original series, Next Generation, Voyager and the Deep Space Nine, but that's it.
Oh, Strange New Worlds is the best. I mean, it's fantastic. The whole cast is wonderful. Anson Mount as Captain Pike is amazing. And Spock, the guy playing Spock, just has Spock to a T. And his name is Ethan Peck. And if you listen to his voice, you'll quickly realize who he's related to. He's the grandson of Gregory Peck.
That's what I was thinking of, yeah. And Steve is in the room. Steve.
We have multiple Steves. Which Steve?
I mean, Steve from Georgia.
Oh, Steve from Georgia stands in the room.
Soup. Hello, everybody.
Soup.
Hey, Robin. Soup. How you doing, my friend? And what Karen has just put her foot down. She said, look, you're going to have to spend some time with me. We're going to go shopping. So enough work, enough worry about your mom, enough of all this crap. You know?
Good for her.
Yeah, so that's where I've been this afternoon and this evening into the show. But what concerned me, Robin, is this strike is we're going to be starved for entertainment. And that's a very good point. And
well, that's what I was getting at.
Right. And I wanted to ask you, my friend, have you seen the HBO series Somebody Somewhere? I really think you would like that.
I have not. So I'm needing recommendations because...
Yes, that would be right up your alley. I mean, everything that you touch on, and it's just so endearing. The problem is they only do like 6 episodes per series, but I just posted a trailer on it.
Okay.
You know, but that would be so you. And I guess we're going to have to streamline into YouTube. Karen and I were talking about this while we were riding around. The beauty of YouTube is it streamlines your interest into what you want to see. Like, we went on a Beavis and Butthead kick, and it took us through a journey from Beavis and Butthead from their conception all the way to where they're at now. And it was like 8 hours worth of watching. So I guess with this strike, that's where ultimately we're going to have to go.
I'm afraid so. But I am so glad you're on here because Annette and I saw a commercial the other night.
Oh, it was that Lumi one, right? Where the pits where they were. I bet I know what it was. I was.
No, it's a guy. It's a guy on a bus. I don't know if it was Lumi or not.
I'm always listening. You know, I whistle a lot while I work. Okay.
And
always
so listening. it's a guy on a bus, and he talks about how it was when it gets all hot in summer, and he gets swampy down there.
It sounds like a Lumi commercial where all my orifices, all I got to do is spray.
There's special effects involved. So he's standing there in the bus. And then all of a sudden he's sinking into a swamp and he's got a bullfrog sitting on his head.
I'll have to look that one up, man. Watch the trailer.
I thought Annette was going to get the Fantods.
10-1 What, Robin,
is it? Has the world gone mad? And then at the end of the commercial, he's elevated back up on the back up out of the swamp, sitting on a 7-foot-tall toilet in a bus.
Robin, you and I have seen this coming since Gordo and beyond, man. Come on.
Oh, well, we saw it, and I was sitting there, and I looked at Annette, and I said, oh, my God, I got to tell Steve.
Advertising, and it makes you wonder at McMahon and Tate when they're sitting around the boardroom and somebody says, oh, that's a good idea. Let's talk about our stinky orifices and see if we can sell this cream. Who thought that was going to fly, you know?
Ad with what? A man in a bus in a swamp.
Well, it's like I watch Roku and they have commercials, and it's like every other commercial, it's Febreze. So it's like, I get it. We stink. I guess we should just have like a bucket of Febreze under our nose at all times.
Okay, that didn't do it.
Do it.
The Horn Ad Hoc Research Department may have to get on this. It's just... Ribbit. It's gross!
And who? What are they trying to sell? That would probably be able to narrow it down. Well, Do you remember the product name? Is it Lumi or?
I don't think it was Lumi. I could be wrong. Let me text her.
Lumi is generally they target the female audience, but you know it could be.
I'm Cornholio.
Somebody was bound to.
But that's what we're going to be reduced to. I mean, we got Oppenheimer, we got the Barbie movie. Neither one I haven't seen, and I will see. on my terms. But, you know, after this plays out, this strike is going to catch up to us. And, you know, 9 months out, we're all going to be starved for entertainment because there's not going to be anything unless you want to watch a special on Jeebus, you know?
Hold on. Well, I just texted Annette and I said, what was the Swampy Guy commercial for? And I got the shrug emoji, the wide-eyed emoji, and the laughing emoji back.
Why did they give Jeebus an exemption? That doesn't make any sense to me. I get it, because the actresses are getting screwed with this AI thing. I mean, they're going to use their image, and which brings me to this point, Robin. I'll be brief. Have you heard that Paul McCartney is going to do a duet with the dead John Lennon, all via AI?
A while back, I heard that there had been an entire AI Beatles song done that was not a Beatles song.
Fuck no, it's wrong.
It is wrong. It is wrong, friend. And thank you. Thank you for validating what I was thinking. You know, I try not to be critical or
I tried to be overly objective. And I didn't make any money at it, but or not enough to survive. But, oh, my God.
And I'm a little cheesed off at Paul McCartney if he's really going to go through with this thing, you know.
Well,
John Lennon's gone.
What kind of bothers me is how mad the studios got when people, quote, pirated, unquote, a production and put it out on YouTube or something else like that. And now they want to turn around and use AI to pirate the work of actors and writers.
Yeah.
Right. For a crowd scene,
bingo.
Instead of having to pay somebody $50 a day for a crowd scene, they'll just use their virtual image and just reproduce it in any
via AI CGI. And there are forward thinking directors out there saying, if you think this isn't coming, this is coming.
Oh, absolutely.
I think they agreed with the Jesus film so that, you know, we'll be so sick of it that we'll be behind their cause.
I'll watch YouTube. And I'm not trying to plug YouTube.
Okay, we have an answer. Ralph's ever diligent serving as the Horn ad hoc Swampy commercial research department. It's from Cottonelle toilet paper.
Oh, good God. Is that the same one that had the bear with the stinky ass, isn't it?
I'm not sure. Maybe. but it's described as another cheeky offering from Cottonelle sees a man lament the state of his nethers at the end of a long work day. He slowly descends into a swamp while taking the bus home, splattering the passengers around him with dank water, and not dank in a good way, before being freed from sweaty hell by the brand's range of wet wipes. It's a gross, attention-grabbing way to pitch hygiene products without quite going into overly graphic details.
Cottonelle's Tales from Down There, is that it? I think I may have got
it. The ad is called Cottonelle Swamp. And apparently it's been out for a while, but we just saw it for the first time. Luckily, we were just nauseated by it for the first time.
Good heavens, that'd push you over the edge.
Well, Finokis are a lot prettier.
Well, I'm gonna keep that. It says you have to sign in to see it. Wait a minute. I'm smarter than the average.
Indeed.
Bear. Mama Bear.
Somebody just posted something. Let's see what that is.
And it really is the...
Looks like there's a whole series of...
Oh, yeah.
Tales from Down There.
Oh, good heavens. Yeah, there's a series of them, Robin.
For flushable wipes. Stand by.
It's not just the dude. They got a whole series of these things, man.
Oh, dear God. Well, this is the one we saw, so hold on.
Yeah, I'm seeing the little preview thing that cycles in.
Oh boy.
Unpaid product placement. Actually, this is an avoid at all cost product placement. This is sickening.
Tales from down there!
After work, my down there gets swampier than bullfrog season on the bayou.
Swampy!
That's why I use Cottonelle Fresh Care Flushable Wipes, so I have a shower fresh.
And this
clean.
Is the part where he's raised up on the 5 foot tall
right
throne.
Kind of care for everybody's down.
I don't care. I don't care.
No, they've crossed lines.
I will not buy it. These people suck.
They've crossed line.
The permanent employment for the plumbers.
You see, this is what Jim Jordan should be rallying against. It's there, you see? It's commercial.
But all we're going to have is reality TV. That's it.
That's, as far as I'm concerned, that's like having...
Nothing.
No TV.
God, so, I'll cancel Showtime. I'll cancel it all.
Steve, I may have to go back to reading books.
Yeah, but there's that.
Horror.
I just wait for the network to put Apprentice back on.
Oh,
Roger,
don't dare say that.
Roger, Gunnar. Although this is funny, we're very near the end of the program, so it's safe for me to do this story.
Sure.
This is hilarious. So, Miss Italy, and of course, Italy is a literally not kidding, this is not a slur, Italy has a fascist government. A fascist woman runs the fascist government, and the fascist government also includes Mussolini's granddaughter. Well, after the Netherlands crowned its first transgender winner, a woman named Ricky Valerie Kola, or Collet, well, then the official organizer of Miss Italy, a woman named Patrizia Mirigliani, doing my best, Flavio, went on an Italian radio station and said, Miss Italy won't allow trans women to compete. Only with a different accent.
Get it right, damn it.
Lately, beauty contests have been trying to make the news using strategies that I think are a bit absurd. And went on to say trans women would not be welcome. Because you had to be born female at birth. You have to be biologically pure. You know, purity is real big among fascists. Well, apparently, Patrizia Mirigliani wasn't any too bright. And Brother Deacon Asa shared this story with me, and I giggled wildly. Because now that Patrizia Mirigliani has said that trans women are not welcome in her pageant, no matter how feminine, no matter how beautiful, no matter how much women they are. Well, over 100 trans men, God love them, including a trans activist named Federico Barbarossa, who lives in a southern Italian town called Bari, said it pissed him off when he saw the bigotry at work. But he also said, I was also kind of amused by it because I was like, yeah, well, I was assigned female at birth, but they would reject me because I look like a boy and they would consider me as a boy. So he entered the pageant under his dead name. And then he shared the screenshot of the email that he got admitting him to the pageant. And then Patrizia Miragliani's world went to shit. And at this point, over 100 trans men have entered the Miss Italy pageant so far. Oops. And Federico Barbarossa said, I like to think I'm a little part of Italy's progress in this sense.
Well, that's one pageant I like to watch.
Well, I mean, I don't care about watching it, but I think it's hilarious.
It is.
Hey, fascists, here's your biological purity. Maybe Federico Barbarossa will come out in a, you know, stunning evening gown. For those not knowing, Barbarossa means red beard. And a beard down to his nipples. And an evening gown.
That was the invasion of Russia too, right? Operation Barbarossa?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Federico Barbarossa was also Frederick Barbarossa, a German conqueror, German Teutonic knight or some such.
Hey, Mr. Carter.
Ooh, Mr. Carter, Mr.
Well,
Carter.
On the same vein, that's going to be real interesting if some female-to-male person, trans man, I think that is, applies to be on a women's swimming team because they were born female and wins the 100-yard freestyle or something like that in a Speedo swimwear.
Here's the thing, though. That's already happened to a certain degree because, like yesterday in that congressional hearing with the pissy former college swimmer from the Alliance Defaming Freedom. And I'm sorry, I have no respect for her. None. She's just a bigot. She's just a transphobe. She's just trash. Well, she was going on and on about how it never goes in the other direction. Well, in point of fact, Leah Thomas, whom that same horrible person deadnamed and kept referring to as a man, a 6'3" tall man. Well, Leah Thomas got her ass handed to her in a match by a trans guy, Roger. A swimmer assigned female at birth who identifies as a trans man but chose to continue swimming in the women's ranks because he isn't on testosterone, or wasn't at the time, and so could fall within the parameters established by the NCAA. But the pissy little shitbird on the panel didn't bother to bring that up, because I'm sure she still sees that guy, that dude, as a real biological woman. And, of course, in North Carolina in, I think, 2020, a cis girl went to the North Carolina High School Boys Wrestling Championships and whipped every boy there. And a cis girl won the North Carolina State Wrestling Championships, and there was not a peep of outrage, not a peep of protest, nothing from these people who were talking about, we've got to create safe spaces.
Oh, this is just getting silly.
They're shitheads. That's all. Just shitheads.
Well, Ken has his hand raised, but before you call him, I was wondering, Robin, if you're familiar with the UPS settlement.
Yes, we were talking about that before you got here.
Does that give you hope with this, and we probably need to bring your friend Dan Fisher in on this to see his take. Does that give us any hope with the actor strike?
I think the two are so unrelated that they're
you're right.
And the issues at work, things like residuals and use of images in AI and AI and script writing and all of that crap.
They're really getting shit all over, man. Yeah. And I don't blame them. You know, I don't blame them. But we're all going to suffer for it. Those of us that are TV junkies and we're going to suffer.
And by the way, Steve, since you mentioned Dan's name, I do want to reiterate, because I've mentioned it a couple of other times, you know, Dan has a new podcast out called Let's Talk 10. And the premise of it is that Dan comes up whoever the participants are come up, they agree on a topic, and then they come up with their list of 10 things. In the case of Dan and me, it was 10 songs about historical figures. And we had a blast. And my choices were wildly different from Dan's choices. And it's all available on the podcast. There's a link to the podcast on my Facebook page. There's a link to the podcast on Dan's Facebook page. There's a link to the podcast in Dan's lovely wife's Facebook page, Helene Fisher.
What platform? You know Stitcher's going away.
Yeah, it's available on Apple Podcasts.
Okay, good. Well, that covers it.
And a couple of other platforms. But if you just look down my Facebook page, you'll find it. Or just search Let's Talk 10, spell it out, Let's Talk T-E-N, and Dan Fisher, and it should pop right there for you. And it was just fun. And Dan had to edit it with a ruthless cut, because I think we talked for 2 hours, and it's a 45-minute podcast. Because everybody knows what happens when Dan and I start talking.
Yeah, I found it on Google Podcasts. I'm going to binge listen to a few episodes. He had 4 episodes, right?
No, I think he's only got 2 so far. I was the second episode.
I'm going to binge both Sunday morning, probably. Listen to you.
And I want to wrap up with, well, Ken, you wanted to say something?
When you were talking about trans people in sports, it's such a minor problem, but I couldn't help but remember all the stories about steroids and human growth hormone and cheating. That seems kind of familiar. Maybe they didn't really give a flying fuck about that, but they really just hate you people. And I see you people because, you know, you're you people.
And another thing, you know that cis girls have been participating in boys football in like middle school and high school for years, right? There was a high profile story of a girl who was a really good place kicker in some high school somewhere.
It's evil, bitch. Burn.
But nobody said anything.
I mean, if people really cared about that it's about fairness or that X person has an advantage over another, they go by weight categories or by age. Sort of like they do in boxing. It's about, yeah, you don't want to put 100.
Some people are better than others. That's the way it goes.
But see, I mean, just to make sure we sort of round this out so we all understand, this has nothing to do with anything but sexism. Because West Virginia passed a law that specifically targets trans girls. Didn't say anything about trans boys playing boys' sports in high school. That's fine, because they have such low regard for girls and women that they assume that girls will just go into boys' sports and get destroyed. And that's okay. One trans boy going into boys' sports, say football or basketball,
who the fuck cares? Nobody
who could be harmed as they claim happens in the other direction. They don't care about that. They can stomp that trans boy's guts out because that trans boy's not really a boy, according to them. On the other hand, however, there's one trans girl in West Virginia who wants to run cross country. And the maggot legislature in this state spent tens and is still spending tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, defending a piece of legislation that is nothing but bigotry and should be bounced out on substantive due process grounds because it singles out trans women and doesn't say a word about trans guys. So there's that. Okay, we got to wrap things up. I want to thank everybody. Oh, thank you all so much for a big chunk of a miracle this evening. We knocked out over $1,000 worth of funding. We brought us current to last Monday, this past Monday. Into this past Monday. It's awesome. And every penny of this is going into somebody else's pocket. A phone company, a power company, a water company, an internet company. So, fingers crossed. Jude had a lovely little note regarding this evening's front porch. What a comfortable and reflective night on the horn. All the voices and emails simply flow with ease. Thank you all. And said, thank heaven, so to speak, for tonight's back porch, hearing everyone there. I sense ease. That's brilliant, Jude said, when I mentioned the trans guy winning the women's swimming competition. A biological woman assigned at birth, now open to being authentic and brave, won that meet. You provided an in-depth perspective and a quintessential truth. Three cowbells at least to you, Robin. Well, thank you. Let's see if I can do three jingles. Oh, actually, that was four. Thank you, Jude. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors, each and every one of you. So many of you jumped in this evening. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I mean, I can't say thank you enough. You may have saved this program or bought us some time. Thank you. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Roger. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, please, like and subscribe to the podcast. If you're new to the program, please feel welcome. You are valued, and you are respected, and your voice is valid and meaningful, and we need to hear from you in whatever manner you so choose. Leave a comment so the algorithms will know we're here, and Brother Deacon Asa gets a smile every time the every time somebody comments on the podcast. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe, everybody. Get your booster if you're eligible. Wear your mask if you're around maggots or big crowds, but mostly if you're around maggots because they don't give a damn about anybody but themselves and they don't think much of themselves to begin with. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry it with you, pocket or purse. Maintain your social distance. You know, social distancing has almost become second nature now. And I think it's probably a good idea. And, of course, if somebody comes babbling down the sidewalk saying something like, we can't have any trans women in Miss Italy. Oops, we done fucked up. Now we're going to have 100 trans men. That's more like my Father Guido Sarducci voice. Well, avoid that fascist like the plague, because she is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.